Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Get right into this message. And this is a series that I know I felt led by the Lord just a few weeks back as the Lord was stirring me in a time of prayer, especially as we move toward this month of October, going into November. And then in light of what we see going on around us in our culture, in our community, about how we can have unshakable joy when the world around us is shaking. How many of you know the world around us is shaking right now? But I want to just tell you that I know that we can have unshakable joy even when the world around us is shaking. My heart is that no matter what happens in the future, that we will always walk with an unshakable joy as Christians. No matter what happens, no matter what changes take place, that we can always have this unshakable joy. So I want you just to give me just the next few weeks as the Lord leads me to speak to you about how and why we need unshakable joy, especially in a world that is constantly shaking more and more by the day. We think sometimes because of all the shaking that we see that it would be hard for us to be able to have any kind of joy at all, especially an unshakable joy. You look at the world that we live in right now, and you're talking about a shaking going on. There's a shaking going on with chaos. There's a shaking going on with craziness that is leading to confusion. There is a shaking going on even with catastrophes that are taking place. We have so many shaky situations going on in our world today. You think about what's happening over in Israel in the Middle East. That's a shaky situation. You think about what's going on here in our own nation right now on the political scale and the things that are the consequences that are at hand because of this next election. It's shaky right now in our very own nation. It's shaky in our state right now. And it's also shaky, I'm sure, in a lot of you, your own personal world. Things are shaking in your own life right now. And because we live in such a shaky world, things are shaking all around us. This is what I've discovered, that people are dealing with a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of discouragement and depression. People are actually living in fear because of everything they see going on around them. And it would, when you think about that, when you think about all that people are walking through and dealing with on a globally and nationally and locally and right in our own very own homes and our own lives, it would seem impossible for us to be able to have an unshakable joy. But the Lord put it on my heart to tell you that we can have an unshakable joy. It's not something that we can hope for or desire for. And a lot of you may be here today and you feel like that the enemy or your circumstances has robbed you of your joy or stolen your joy, or maybe you're just missing this joy out of your own life. I'm here to tell you in the name of the Lord, I declare to you that you can have an unshakable joy in your life no matter what you're walking through. You can. And I want you to follow along with me because we're going to actually be looking in the book of Philippians over the next couple of weeks. So I want you to open up your Bible right now to the book of Philippians, the book of Philippians. And your homework this week is four chapters, this very short book. You need to read the book of Philippians and mark everywhere in that book where you see the word joy or rejoicing or joyful. Depending on what translation you're reading, just mark it and you'll see that the theme of this book of Philippians, the theme that is all the way through these four chapters is joy. The Apostle Paul is the one who wrote this letter to this church that he founded. This church was very special to him. And he wrote this letter, and the whole theme throughout it all is joy. In fact, depending on what translation you're reading, you'll probably see it 14 to 16 times in those four chapters. And Paul is writing this letter to the church to let them know that no matter what they have going on in their life, they can have an unshakable joy. How many of you want that unshakable joy? Come on, amen. And Paul is telling us in this letter that unshakable joy is not some kind of surface emotion. Don't miss this, because joy is not some kind of emotion. It's not a feeling. Paul is saying to us that this unshakable joy is not found in material things. It's not found in money. It's not found in pleasures or possessions. The joy that Paul is writing about is a joy that this world can't give you. I want you to think about this for a minute. Think about what I'm about to tell you. Paul is writing this letter. He's not writing from a resort in the Bahamas. There's not palm trees. He don't have an all-inclusive trip paid and the food's included, and there's greenish-blue waters and palm trees and white sand. That is not where he's writing from. This letter that Paul is writing that is themed with joy, full of joy, is written from a painful place, a lonely place, a dark place, a difficult place. This letter was written that was filled with joy was written while Paul was chained up in a prison. Think about that. The letter is full of joy, but he's writing it from a prison. He's chained up in a prison. And not only was he chained in a prison, but think about his own life. If you look in 2 Corinthians later on in chapter 11, verse 25 through 28, listen to what kind of shaky things Paul went through in his life. The Bible says that he was beaten with rods. He was stoned, left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was constantly on the move. The Bible says, Paul testified, he says, I was in danger. Danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own countrymen, danger from the Gentiles. I was in danger in the city. I was in danger in the country. I was in danger in the sea. He says, I've labored and I've toiled and I've gone without sleep and I've known hunger and I've known thirst and I've gone without food. I've been cold. I've been naked. And not only add that, but then he says, I face a daily pressure. How many of you know what it is to have a daily pressure? He says, I have this daily pressure in my life for the concern for all the churches. After all he's been through, he's in prison, chained up for his faith in Jesus Christ. He's been through all these shaky circumstances, and he has a heart of joy. He's writing this letter with a heart of joy. It's a heart of triumphant joy. It's a heart that is full of unshakable joy. And so today, I want to just share with you for the next few minutes on how you can have an unshakable joy in your life. And I believe we find out how through Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, which is the foundation to me, the very core of this letter in Philippians 4:4. And this is what Paul says in this letter. Keep in mind what he's gone through. Keep in mind that he's chained up in a prison. And Paul says this to this church, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Paul here is talking about having an unshakable joy. Now, our problem is we think that joy and happiness are the same thing. Joy and happiness are not the same thing. You need to go ahead and get that in your mind right now and in your heart, that joy and happiness are not the same thing. Happiness is feeling good because life is good. Happiness is feeling good because things are going good in your life. Hey, maybe you just got a new job promotion, happy. Maybe with that job promotion came a raise, happy. Hey, the kids are making great grades and good grades in school, happy. Hey, the hot lights on at Krispy Kreme, happy. The North Dupont Rebels win, happy. You see, our happiness depends on our circumstances. They're connected to our circumstances. But how many of you know what the problem is with that? The problem is that our circumstances are always changing. They're always changing. One phone call away, one person pull up in your driveway, one person visit here at your house or at the office, and everything changes. Happiness that is based on circumstances will never last because everything is always changing. But unshakable joy is not based on our ever-changing circumstances. The key to having this unshakable joy is found in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again. Rejoice. That's how you have an unshakable joy. When your world has been shaken. If you want to have an unshakable joy, number one, here we go. Unshakable joy is a choice. It's a choice. Joy is a choice you make. Paul said to rejoice. It's the command to do something. If you study that word in rejoice, the tense that it's in is imperative. That means he's commanding you to rejoice. If I walked over to Haywood and I said, Haywood, rejoice. I'm giving him a command. And now he has a decision to make. Am I going to rejoice or am I not going to rejoice? Paul is saying to us, rejoice. It's the command. And because it's the command, we have a response to make and we have a decision to make that we need to rejoice. We got to make a choice. So joy is a choice. You think about all the challenges in the life of Paul, yet he says rejoice. He's making a choice to rejoice. And we have to decide. Listen to me. If you want unshakable joy, you have to decide that you're going to rejoice even when life is shaking around you. And I know what some of you are thinking right now. Some of you are thinking, how do you expect me to have an unshakable joy when my life is crumbling? How do you expect me to have a joy when my life is full of pain? How do you expect me to have joy when it seems like the enemy is attacking me from all different directions in my life? Let me just say this, that Paul is not denying what we feel when we go through those events and circumstances in our life. Paul's not denying our feelings. He is not minimizing what we feel when we go through those shaky circumstances. But what Paul is saying is that unshakable joy is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. Say choice. It's a choice, not a feeling. And Paul is saying this unshakable joy is not based on my circumstances. It's not based on the environment around me. It is based on my choice. And we have to make a choice that I'm going to have unshakable joy despite what I'm walking through. And if you think about this, you've already made that choice this morning. You've already made that choice this morning. Think about it. How many of you walked in this morning and raise your hand if everything is perfect in your world? Raise your hand. Everything, every circumstance in your life is perfect right now. Exactly. Nobody has perfect circumstances going on right now, but you chose to come in here this morning despite what you're walking through, despite what you're facing, despite the circumstances in your life, and you made a choice today to walk in here and lift up your hands and rejoice in the Lord. Come on, praise God for that. People, you made a choice today. Some of the circumstances that some of you are walking through in your life right now, the darkness, the difficult things you're facing in your life, and you made a choice to walk in here today and give praise to the Lord because you made a choice. You made a choice. You could have made a choice, and some of you may have, just to kind of hold your hands down and not open your mouth and just be bitter and mad about what you're going through in your life. But from what I heard and from what I saw hands up, I saw mouths singing and making a choice to rejoice in the Lord despite what you're going through. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know why you need to do that? I hope you listened last week, because praise is your weapon. Praise is your weapon. So joy is a choice. And joy is not only a choice, but joy is a connection. Joy is a connection. My joy comes to me through my connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul said. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord, it means that if you're going to rejoice, if you're going to have an unshakable joy, you need to stay connected to Jesus. Listen to me. I'm going to give you a secret this morning. The secret to your unshakable joy is Jesus. Staying connected to Jesus is the source of your joy. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus told his followers this right here. He says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My joy, Jesus said, may be in you. It's there because there's a connection. Jesus is my joy. Jesus is your joy. My circumstances may change, but my Jesus, he never changes. All I need to do is make sure I'm staying connected to Christ. Because Christ is the one who never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Friend, if you want unshakable joy, make sure there's a good connection going on between you and the Lord. If the connection's broken, then the joy is going to be gone. So we need to make sure that we stay connected because Jesus never changes. Jesus is my joy. He's my joy because he's the light of my salvation. He's my joy because he's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is my joy because he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus is my joy because he is the giver of peace. Jesus is my joy because he's the hope that is an anchor for my soul. Jesus is my joy because he holds me up when everything else is coming down. Jesus is my joy because nothing can separate me from his love. Jesus is my joy because he's my victorious warrior. Hallelujah. And as long as we stay connected to Jesus, you will have an unshakable joy. Why? Because Jesus is greater than anything that we're going to walk through. He's greater than any circumstance. He's greater than any situation. Listen to me. Hear me. He's greater than your pain. He's greater than your loss. He's greater than your problem. He's greater than your brokenness. He's greater than your suffering. He's greater than your battle. Listen, you can lose everything around you and you can still have an unshakable joy because you have Jesus. Hallelujah. The bottom can fall out in your life like it has for many people in this room. The bottom can fall out and you can still have joy because you're connected to Jesus, who is the source of unshakable joy. Joy is a choice to stay connected to the source, who is Jesus. Say connect. You got to stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus. And then Jesus, joy is also not only a choice and a connection, but joy is consistent. Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice always. Always means what? Always. 24/7. I'm always rejoicing in the Lord. I'm always rejoicing in the Lord. It's a consistent joy. Always. Your joy in the Lord is a foundation you can consistently stand on. Let me say that again. Your joy in the Lord is something that you can consistently stand on. Paul said, rejoice always. Say always. Always. When even when you're sick, even when you're hurting, you can always rejoice. When you're weak, you can always rejoice. Listen, when your world has been turned upside down, you can still always rejoice. When you're stressed out by life, you can still always rejoice. Listen, even if you lose a job or lose a home or God forbid you lose someone near to you that you love dearly, you can still always rejoice in the Lord. Listen, when you've been blindsided, when the lights go out in your life, you can always rejoice because the Bible says rejoice in the Lord always. You can have a consistent, unshakable joy No matter what circumstances you're walking through in life, if you will focus on doing this right here. Somebody passed this along to me, and I want to pass it along to you so you can focus on having unshakable joy no matter what circumstances you have to walk through in your life. The first thing you need to focus on is you need to search for God. You need to search for God. Hear me this morning. I don't know what kind of circumstances you may have to walk through in your life. The pain, the hurt that you may have to go through. But if you will look, if you will search, you can see the hand of God at work. You can still see the hand of God at work when your whole life has been blindsided, when the bottom falls out, when the phone call comes and you're having a hard time to see, you can look for the hand of God to be at work in the good times and even in the bad times. And I would just say this right here. Sometimes we don't appreciate the cards that we've been dealt. I mean, if you could go back and just change some of the cards that have been dealt to you in life, you may not like the hand that you've been dealt. You may not like what your hand holds right now, but I just want to say, friend, if that's where you are and you're bitter about it and you're broken about it, you need to get your eyes off your hand and look for the hand of God to be at work, even in your situation. Look for God to be at work. Search for God. Because God is always working. He's always working. And the Bible says he's working all things together for good. We may not like it. We may not understand it. But we just have to know that he is working. Look for God even in your situation. And then the second thing I would say to you is always not only search for God, but always serve God. Whatever circumstance you're walking through in your life right now, make it your desire that I'm going to serve God's purpose with the season that I'm in right now. Whether it hurts or whether it's painful or cause a lot of suffering, Lord, take whatever I'm going through and use it for your glory. Use the pain, use the hurt, use the suffering, use it all for your glory that I can be a blessing to somebody else. Can you do that? I mean, you know, whatever you're walking through, ask the Lord to use your life, use your circumstances to serve out his purpose and his plan. I've seen that in this church. I've seen that in this church. I've been with people in this church who have been laid up in a hospital with cancer. And there's different ones that are here today that have been through so much. And I've seen it in your own life that people that have been diagnosed with cancer and they're so frail and so weak. And they would say out of their mouth to me that, you know what? I'm going through what I'm going through now, but God put some people on my path along this journey that I've been able to pray with and pray for them, and I've been able to witness to them about how faithful God is. Isn't that powerful? Because that's the person that says, I'm going to serve God even in my circumstances, whether they're good or bad. I've seen people in this church that have walked, and I've been with you walking through some difficult times, and I've heard a lot of you say, Lord, take my sickness, take my suffering, take my pain, take my problems, and use those things to bring somebody closer to Jesus Christ. Maybe a family member, maybe a friend, or anybody. And to me, that is powerful. To me, those are the true heroes of the faith who are always serving God's purpose, even in their pain. You know what those people are doing? They're making a choice to have unshakable joy. They're making a choice to stay connected to the source of joy, who is Jesus. And they're consistently rejoicing in the Lord. They're not gloomy, but they're glowing for Jesus. And they're expressing the joy of the Lord in their life. Don't you love being around people like that? So always serve God. Always stand on God. Always stand on God. What I mean by that is whatever you're walking through in your life, stand on the promises of God. You can stand in joy knowing that God is in control. You can stand in joy knowing that nothing is too hard for him. You can stand in joy knowing that with God, all things are possible. Whatever you're walking through, always stand on the promises of God. And then lastly, I would say you need to always sing to God. Always sing and praise God for his greatness. The Bible we learned last week says, praise the Lord at all times. Sometimes you got to sing your way through your circumstances. Sometimes you got to praise your way through the storms. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, wave a hand. You're out there, right? Always sing and praise God for his greatness, his great mercy, his great love, his great works. Praise the Lord and sing to him, even when you have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even when you walk through the shaking of life, even in the most dark and difficult places. Why? Because God is faithful. He is faithful. Just keep singing your way through your circumstances. Don't lose your song. You know, just a few weeks ago, there was an individual who had been watching our services through the live stream, and their whole world had been shaken. And they called our church wanting to know if they would, anybody that could provide counseling for them. So I met with the individual, and they began to pour out their situation. And my, their world had been shaken big time. And she told me that while she was there watching the online service, watching the live stream, that she began to just feel this joy well up inside of her. And while the praise team was leading worship, that she walked out onto her back deck with her phone, still watching the service, and she began to lift up both hands and began to praise the Lord, even in her shaking, even in her situation, even in the darkness. And she testified to me that when she lifted up her song to the Lord and lifted up her hands to the Lord and began to rejoice in the Lord, she felt a breaking come, and she got her breakthrough, she got her victory, and the joy of the Lord was her strength so she could fight on for the glory of God. Hallelujah. You got to sing your way through. No matter what you're facing or what you'll face in this world, your joy is in Jesus, not your circumstances. I want you to bear with me just for a minute. I want you to see and I want you to hear what it looks like to choose joy. I want you to see and I want you to hear what it looks like to stay connected to the source of joy. I want you to hear and see what it looks like to consistently rejoice in the Lord, no matter what you will have to walk through in your life. Because of the storm that hit this past week, there's been so much devastation and so much death. And somebody shared with me this past week, the staff sent me a video that broke my heart. And it's about... we'll probably play about 8 minutes of it. Bear with me and watch this video right now.
One family is dealing with unimaginable grief, losing three loved ones in Asheville, North Carolina, when they were swept away in floodwaters. Two members of this family, one of which is a survivor of this devastating event, they're coming out to share their story 4 days later.
Megan Dyer and her sister Heather Kephart lost their parents. And Megan lost her 7-year-old son, Micah. Megan agreed to do the interview with us this morning in Micah's honor. Megan and her sister, Heather, they join us live here on Weather Command, and we do appreciate you both for being here with us. Let us start by saying we are so, so sorry for your loss. Megan, you witnessed this happen, and when we experience grief, so often we are asked, how are you holding up? But I feel like I know the answer to that already. So let me ask you this then. How is your grief today?
My grief today is unfathomable. I'm sorrowful. I feel broken. But what is the main thing that I take away from grief is the uplifting of all the prayers that I've received. And I think that all the chain of prayers that I have felt are the things that held me up, the things that are holding me together right now, because if it was up to my humanly flesh, I wouldn't be able to do it. Family togetherness, many, many people reaching out, praying, sending their support. That's the pieces that I can't have on my own that they're putting together for me.
And Heather, by your side, Megan, we also know your other sister, Jessica. Mm-hmm. Initially, when the stories started coming out of Western North Carolina, your sister, Jessica, was posting updates on Facebook before, even after the rescue and those subsequent updates. There is this picture, I believe you took on the roof, and only if you feel comfortable sharing, what was going through your mind, because you, your parents, and your son, I believe those were your shoes, had to evacuate to the roof.
Yes, we did. It was our only hope at that point. Everything else was covered in water. We were on the roof, and I considered at that moment that we were at our safe point. So I took a picture, because at that point I still had service and I wanted to keep them in the loop. I thought we were okay still, until the house broke apart and until everything started to collapse. Devastation. I was terrified, but in that moment, all I thought about was being a mom and keeping my son safe and reassuring him that this is how superheroes are made. We survive and we keep going. And I wanted to keep that alive in that moment, so I never let the faith falter.
I want to ask you too, Heather, as we give Megan a moment as well. You are Megan's sister, so your parents were also on that roof, as well as your nephew. I am reading that you do not live in Asheville, so what was the communication? Did you know what was happening in real time as your family was waiting for that necessary life-saving support?
We were getting texts from Megan, and like Megan, we were hopeful. I mean, we never in a million years would imagine that this would have happened. And then things went dark, and we didn't have any communication. And our sister, Jessica, went into action mode and started calling on the only hope that we have,
prayer,
which is prayer. And the network came through like we have never seen. It's been such a blessing to our family, all the people, all of the responders, all around the world came and they prayed for us in our family.
And I have to say, in the water, because I was stuck there for a very long time in the water, and I was, you know, held down by roots and trees. And in that moment, you know, in the midst of the chaos, all I heard was God telling me to be still and to stop fighting the water. That was him, but that was prayers. That was prayers that told me to be still and to let the water carry me to where I needed to be rescued.
And you were eventually rescued, and sharing the story just 4 days later, Megan. Your son, Micah, 7 years old, from what I've been told, you're wearing one of his T-shirts. You called him a superhero.
Yes, he wanted to be Deadpool for Halloween, and in his honor, I wore it today for him.
Micah, man.
Tell us about Micah and the legacy that he's going to leave on this earth.
This moment.
You know, I'm so proud of my son, because in his last moments, he wasn't screaming for me. He was screaming, Jesus, Jesus, save me. Jesus, I hear you. Jesus, I'm calling upon you. And his wildest dreams and everything that he wanted to be was a superhero. And that was his goal in life. And instead, he's my hero, because he reached for something past flesh, past human, past anything that even grown adults, I think, would reach for. My son called out to the one God Almighty, and I think at that moment he was rescued and he became my hero, and I think all of them carried me through that moment. I think that his biggest dreams, he was the smartest, bravest, hopeful, great friend, great son. I couldn't have asked for a better son. And he was so happy up until the very end when he was screaming for Jesus. And in that moment, I think he found joy.
You know, the innocence of children is actually quite spectacular. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's it is. Marissa, being a mother too, Megan and Heather, I do, amidst the tragedy, your parents as well, Jessica included, how will they be remembered? Heather, if you don't mind sharing about your parents.
Our parents, like everybody, were not perfect. But since the time that we could talk in our little Southern accents, they taught us Bible verses. And my dad had a big piece of cardboard. And for every Bible verse we memorized, he gave us a star. And they're the old foily stars that I don't even know if they make them now. But we got one for every verse. And those verses, to this day,
are in our hearts and in our minds. And I think nothing, they wouldn't want to do anything else in this moment but to give honor and glory and to the Lord Jesus Christ.
And one verse in particular, Micah 6:8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, but what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love humbly, and to walk humbly with thy God.
I think I know why Micah got his name now.
Yeah. Yes, he did, in honor of my father and in honor of that verse.
Yeah. You two are incredible. You know, and I apologize. It's so emotional. I think anybody watching, it's hard not to get choked up. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Will you tell them why I'm sorry. I have a 7-year-old. I have a 7-year-old at home. And so I do want to ask you, oh my gosh, I've never done this on air before, but I think people watching need to know that when we talk about over 120 lives that have been lost, these are brothers and sisters and sons and mothers and fathers. Yep. Prayer and faith is getting you through this, and it is such an important thing to lean on in this time. What is it you want people watching to know and to understand as we continue to bring coverage out of Asheville, out of North Carolina, out of these communities that have been so deeply and forever impacted?
I want them to remember that there is joy beyond the pain, that while we are wrapped in sorrow and while we are wrapped in grief and overwhelming regret for all the things that we could have done that we didn't, that they are happy. And they are joyful, and they are all around us looking down. And my son couldn't be more proud at me for hanging on. My parents were probably lifting me up when I was in between the two things that were holding me down. They are rejoicing at the fact that I now can tell them what God did for me, because it was God. He said, "Be still, I am in control, mm-hmm. and you will pass on." This is a backfire for the devil, because Amen. He tried to take me out, and here I am sharing the word that my 7-year-old is a hero and my parents live on in God's glory. Mighty Micah man.
I'm struck by your spirit. I mean, and having the support of your sisters. I know when it comes to this event, I would imagine you being in the water. I know it's hard to gauge time.
And that family is walking through that right now, making a choice to have unshakable joy, making a choice to stay connected to Jesus, who's the source of our joy, and being consistent with our joy, always giving praise and glory to God, no matter what we go through. I wonder how many people here this morning, maybe your world has been shaken. Maybe your life has been shaken. Maybe your home, relationships, whatever it is. And you feel like the devil has robbed you and stolen that joy from you. Because the way you've looked at it, joy is a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. And you're here today and you just want to make a choice. I'm making a choice, a new choice today, that I'm going to have unshakable joy. No matter what I walk through, I love what she said. The devil tried to take her out, but it didn't happen. It backfired. And when we can come in and make a choice to rejoice in the Lord, we're just letting the devil know it backfired on you. Would you stand with me, please? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Nobody looking around. I just want to first say right now, friend, the unshakable joy that you desire to have, it all starts with being connected to Christ. Are you following Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sins? Have you, by faith, received Jesus, trusted in Him and what He did on the cross as He gave His life, shed His blood for you and for me? And thank God, He was resurrected from the dead, and He's alive today. He is our Savior. He's our Lord. And friend, the only way you can have this unshakable joy is by making a choice to connect yourself to Him. If you're here this morning, and maybe you have never made a decision to follow Christ, I want to encourage you right there where you are, just to invite Jesus into your life. Just say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. And you're my Savior. Nobody else can save me. And I repent right now. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you, Jesus. I turn to you because you're my source of joy and peace, salvation. Everything that I need is in you. That's why I rejoice in the Lord. So, Lord, I surrender my life to you. In this moment, I give everything to you. And by faith, I'm making a decision now to live for you and to follow you all the days of my life. And Lord, through that connection, I know I'm going to have unshakable joy. I pray you'll make that decision now. I pray you'll make that your prayer now. If that's you, friend, and let somebody know that you've made a decision to follow Jesus. For anybody that's here right now under the sound of my voice, that maybe your whole world is shaking right now. Nobody looking around. If that's you this morning and you have some shaking going on in your life, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? God bless you, sir.